This is Charlie, and you're listening to Zen of the Skill to Catch a Vibe on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. The mics are out of order. Your mic's still...
Hello?
I turned on mic 4 by accident, because they're out of order today, for some reason. You okay?
Excuse me, yes. I'm like an old lady. Hi.
So, we've got an exciting show, as always. Actually, No, not exciting at all. They're never exciting.
It is very exciting.
We have Isaac coming in again to...
Isaac, you're late.
Yeah, Isaac's a little late, but we're going to be listening to an excerpt from Radio Libre, Columbia episode.
It's so exciting. They talk about... You can't hear it too well. Like, so, they're like, most of the words are kind of just a little bit muffled because it's real to real. Pero... It'll be exciting. They play some cumbia.
Yeah, so for your information, this is a political radio program that released sometime in the 80s, I'd say. Definitely 80s. We didn't listen to it all, but we'll probably be able to date it based on what they're talking about. Yeah. First, we're going to listen to some music, though. We have a couple songs from the new Slaps album, Mud Glimmer.
Really
I was
good.
Not able to go to their show. This past weekend, it was nearby.
They'll be back, though.
They'll be back for sure. But their album is really good. The first song we're going to listen to is Flip. Then we're going to listen to Filthy Sect Maneuvers. And then we'll come back to this album later. Oh. We're not actually going to listen to music yet, though.
Okay.
It's
a good album.
We've been watching a lot of Twin Peaks lately.
Yeah.
We finished season 2 and Fire Walk With Me.
Oh,
what are your
so
thoughts
sad.
Before we move on from listening
it
to Twin Peaks?
So sad.
Nice theme song.
I, there were a lot of emotions that I wasn't ready to deal with when I saw that movie. So, but it was really good. I think I know I really enjoyed it. It was, I don't know. I think David Lynch is messed up just a little bit.
It's a movie that rips a hole straight through
it
you.
It literally. Like, you.
I think Mia is miming. I'm gonna guess, like, the drill that they put in.
Yes. That's
even better. Ice fishing?
That's
an ice fishing drill?
Isaac's here. With a new haircut. Oh, you saw it yesterday?
Yeah, no one on that over the air can hear the.
Can, no.
We can't hear your haircut. I got a haircut too.
This is true.
But not so much. Not so much. Come take a seat. Yeah, your mic's on.
What's up, people?
We were talking about Twin Peaks.
We just saw Fire Walk With Me.
Have I what?
We just saw Fire Walk
You just
with
saw
me.
Fire Walk With Me.
A couple days ago.
But like just.
Friday
it's still
or Saturday.
Fresh. It's still really fresh, though.
I mean, it sticks with you for sure. That's still fresh.
Yeah.
It's a... Yeah, that one I remember watching right before, like, a semester break or something. Really brutal energy in that room.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a toughie. That's one of the best movies ever, though.
Really good. I was just saying that David Lynch is probably not okay. Like, have you seen Blue Velvet?
I have seen Blue Velvet. That's a great movie.
Well, we gotta move on now. We're gonna listen to Flip.
Flip the bird again. twisted edge of venom. Bring out the cheeses. Can you concentrate with all of this? Shook the travel to its road and nimble pulse. Until dust crawls into each breath. Of smoke, filthy sex maneuvers. Now they ask an overwhelming unison.
Where the hell are the hearts?
The planet in random places. Some have died, some have fled from themselves, or struggle from here to get there. Sonny wanders beyond his interior walls, runs his hands through his thinning brown hair. Well, I'm accustomed to a smoother act, or maybe I'm a dog who's lost its bite. I don't expect to be treated like a fool no more. I don't expect to sleep the night. Some people say a lie is just a lie, but I say the cross is in the ballpark. Why deny the obvious, child?
Outside my head. Will you still love me when I call you up when I'm down? Here in Savannah, it's pouring rain. Palm trees in the porch light like slip like cellophane. When I call you up when I get back to town, I know that you've got all those pretty girls coming up, hanging on your boom, boom pachyderm. Will you tell those girls that you've got German measles? Honey, tell them you got germs. I hope you'll be thinking of me because I'll be thinking of you. Think they're gone? No, no, just go underground. Will you still love me when I get back to LA town? You and me were like America and Russia. We're always keeping score. We're always balancing the power, and I can get to be a cold, cold war. We're gonna have to hold ourselves a peace talk. Sneaking round the town, honey, and I lay down the highway. I've got a blue motel room with a blue bedspread. I've got the blues inside and outside my head. Will you still love me when I get back to town?
Hello?
Hi.
We're gonna listen to one more song and then we're gonna get the Reel to Reel machine fired
up.
So
exciting.
In other news, well, we were talking about what we were watching earlier, but we've been watching The Odyssey.
I was gonna say.
This in like maybe ninth grade or so. So, geez, almost 10 years ago at this point.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Four years.
Four plus school, four that's eight.
What if I cried right now? Right now. That's so sad.
But we watched the 1968 version of The Odyssey. We watched an abridged movie, and I found on YouTube the whole, I think it's a 6-part show.
It's very
cool. Like,
it's 4 parts. 1 out of 4.
Okay. 4 parts, but they're long. They're like each an hour and a half. So They get to the whole thing.
Yeah. It's cool, though.
It's very impressive for an adaptation of a literary text to try to accomplish so much.
I don't know what language it's originally filmed in. German?
It's an international co-production.
But
Germany,
it's dubbed in French.
France, really Italy, and Yugoslavia.
Oh, yeah.
So each of the actors is probably speaking their native language.
And they just dub over it.
It's really funny. I was thinking a lot about Spaghetti Westerns today, too, because there was this band that I played on my show called Spaghetti Western, and they're from Argentina, which I thought was curious.
Yeah. I think it's interesting how there's some funny stories of, like, the crews who would work on, like, Italian movies getting brought over to Hollywood by, like, big-name Italian directors if they get a Hollywood picture. And they're used to just working through the scene because there's no sound being picked up. So they're just, like, loudly hammering away at something on the set, like, while people are shooting.
That's so funny.
And then, yeah.
And they're like, oh, can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people yelling at them to stop, and it's just like, this is the way I've always done it.
And they just end up, they can't.
This is how Fellini does it, I think, was the line.
Really?
Yeah, from that story, but anyway.
That's cool.
What do we got coming up?
I don't know. I was trying to figure out how to turn off the animated covers on Spotify because, I don't know, every so often they change your settings on Spotify just without your input. And that's something
covers?
I really hate. Like, that's not the actual cover of the song. That's just something that they put on there.
Oh.
Like, I don't want to see that. I never want to see that.
Did you update Spotify?
This is just on my computer.
Did you update Spotify on your computer?
I never do anything on my computer on purpose.
Wait, no, but
it just auto-updates after enough time.
Sometimes
yeah.
It asks me, like, when I open Spotify, it's like...
Whoa.
You can't listen and talk at the same time?
No.
I was asking if you'd found ladders.
Oh.
Just keep that in mind.
I gotta look
head.
For it. Hold on.
As you were saying.
Well, anytime I open up Spotify, my computer's like, your operation thing is out of date. Or what's it called? Operation system is out of date. So.
My computer's been.
To use the modern.
Screaming at me to update my browser for like months now. Not gonna happen. Sorry, liberals.
I turned it off. They call it a canvas, a short looping track.
You definitely something happened there.
Well, they change the settings themselves. It happens often. Every so often. They do the same thing with the auto playing similar music. I never want to listen to similar music.
I do, because then how do I find new stuff?
I don't mind it, but usually it's like, oh, I don't really like this. This is now my cue to go find the thing I was listening to again. But sometimes it's cool.
Good. Sometimes it's good.
Actually, more often than not, it's a song I've heard a million times and don't really care to hear at that moment. And I've listened to like 5 times in the last week, and it's like, all right, I get it. This isn't the only song. You don't have to play it for me. I can pick the music myself. Thank you.
I have this one new playlist, and I usually like always play it in shuffle. But there's something very dangerous in your home. It could be hiding in a closet or waiting in the basement. It's not sharp or toxic or flammable, yet it helps send more people to the trauma center than any other household item. Using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. Ask any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center last year alone. Don't let a do-it-yourself project do yourself in. For tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org/ladder safety. A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and your safety-minded friends here in at WMFO in Medford Tufts Community Radio. Thanks. More than 150,000 people nowadays, though. How many were they? Well, a lot. We did the count the other day. It's a lot. But what were we just saying?
Remember, folks at home, keep your ladder at 70 degree angle if you're trying to climb up, set up against your roof, climb up onto your roof. You gotta keep it at a 70 degree angle, or else too sharp, you're gonna fall. Too wide, also gonna fall.
70 degrees is what?
I think it's 70 degrees. I actually don't remember at all. I should know this. This is part of my job now. Let's play some music.
I was trying to play the sound effects for me.
Thank you.
Little thing. Thanks for reading ladders.
You're welcome.
Sorry we had to cut short the conversation. I want to give us half an hour to listen to that reel. Our radio, Radio Libre Colombia. I wanted to reiterate again that this is not topical content, just in case anyone gets confused. I want to avoid a War of the Worlds situation.
That would be crazy.
What year is this from? Do we know?
No, we're gonna try to guess 83, but I think that that's maybe giving a little too much.
My bad. We already listened to this one. I was meaning to play another one. Was too sucked into the reel. So we're going to listen to this, and then we'll listen to the reel. No is a fool when he's fooled. But thank God I've got my guardian angel. Hello, Mia, we are ready. You're on.
Atlantic Ocean, in the east with Venezuela and Brazil, and in the west the Pacific Ocean. In the south is Ecuador and Peru. The country is crossed from north to south by three branches of the Andean Mountains. The lands near its coast are flat, and the lands of Los Llanos in the south are very flat also. They mainly have cattle, and there is also the jungle. Because Colombia is located near the equator, its climate is dependent on the altitude. In the mountain, one finds all climates, and in the Atlantic coast, you find that the climate is hot and dry, and in the Pacific, it is hot and humid. From this, you can see that Colombia will be a very diverse country with diverse cultures and diverse economies. Before the Spaniards arrived, the land was inhabited by various Indian tribes, which were well organized and prosperous. The most well-known are the Chibchas for the legend El Dorado and the San Agustin culture in the south. You also have Guabinos and Cocunucos. These cultures were very special because each tribe had its own cultures and they were very independent from each other. The Spaniards arrived in 1499 and ruled Colombia until 1819 when Colombia was liberated by Simón Bolívar. The rise of Colombia as a constitutional republic dates from 1832. 60% of the country's 26.8 million inhabitants live in 14% of Colombian total territory, the three largest cities being Bogotá, the capital, 5 million, and Medellín, where I'm from, 2 million, and Cali, 1 million. Three ethnic types have contributed to the composition of the Colombian population today, Spanish, Indian, and to a lesser extent, Negro. Before the Spanish conquest, the inhabitants of Colombia were Indians. Since that time, a nearly homogeneous population had given rise to the mestizos, which now constitute 60% of the population. The rest of the population are 20% Caucasian, 4% Negro, and 2% Indian. The foundation of Colombia, you can make a comparison here with Ecuador and Peru, which are mostly Indian. The foundation of Colombia's national economy is based on agriculture, livestock, and manufacturing industry. Colombia is the number one producer of mild coffee, the largest single factor in the country's economy. In addition, Colombia is one of the world's leading producers of precious metals and stones. For example, 95% of the world's emeralds come from Colombia. It is also the only South American producer of platinum, which is gotten from the Chocó region, the Pacific coast. 75% of Colombian population knows how to read and write. And there are public universities in the major cities of Colombia. These universities were very stable and very prosperous, and people from other Latin American countries used to come to Colombia to study. Unfortunately, in the turmoil of the last few years, these universities have been destroyed by strikes and disorganization from both students and administrative groups. In Colombia, as in most developing countries, poverty is a major part of the everyday life and has been since the beginning of its history. Fortunately, as time goes by, the riches are becoming less rich and the middle class is rising, but there is still a large population of poverty and is rising in cities, especially to the migration of peasants to the city due to terrorism in the fields and the attractiveness of the city and, of course, the economical problems and the inequality that is found in Colombia with having very rich people and very poor people, and the rich people not realizing that there's that amount of poverty in Colombia. Therefore, in all the major cities of Colombia, all the major cities of Colombia are surrounded by slums, people living in houses made of boxes without clean water or any facilities whatsoever. Catholicism is a very important part of the society and the government. For example, Mateo, you remember when a couple of years ago the government elected a woman as a governor of a province, and she was divorced or separated, like Catholics would say, and remarried. Now the church came out and really was mad about this and wrote in the newspapers and the radio. And as a result, the president revoked her position as governor. So you can see the amount of power the Catholic has over the government. That brings us to the... What, Mateo?
This is to be said that... This is under López Mikkelsen, the second to last president, and he had a lot of problems facing being a member of the Liberal Party, quote unquote, and supposedly following the standards of the society. Yeah.
Because the same thing happened with the next president, and he didn't accept that from the church, and she became the governor. Now, that brings us to the subject of women. Now, women are very affected by this Catholicism upbringing, and I've been very affected myself. They, in general, marry young, 18 to 21, unfortunately I'm not, and most of them work in addition of being in charge of children, households,
This is the representative of Colombian women. Abortion in Colombia is illegal, and so you find that most of the deaths of pregnant women in Colombia are due to backstreet abortion. Colombian women only got the vote in 1958. So, therefore, this society is still a very patriarchal society. Well, that doesn't give us a very good picture, but now Mateo will introduce, or will try to explain to you, the background of Colombia, its politics, and for you to try to understand where Colombia is coming from and where it's going, if it's going anywhere. Here's Mateo. Here's a little bit of cumbia, the music we dance in Colombia. It's our social music, and this music mostly comes from the Atlantic coast.
Very happy music. We get everyone dancing from the age of 21. They make it work.
In the Atlantic, you end up having parties for 3 or 4 days straight.
However, the problems that Colombia faces today, it faces as a united country, and this national unity comes from the problems it has faced throughout its history. When the Colombian constitution was adopted in the 1830s, it had the same glow and glory and success as did most other constitutions that derived their basis from the French Revolution, including the American Constitution. It was composed of the standard legislature, executive, and judiciary. Everyone knows those here in this country. With members of political parties holding the offices. And since the creation of this constitution, two standard parties have dominated the politics of the country, the liberals and the conservatives. Yet, from this constitution, which looks neat and accurate for a democratic republic, Colombia fell into the hands of a few who were governed by opportunism and egoism. Just now, after the bloody civil war, decentralization of economy and upheavals in the social structures, does Colombia look as if it is back on the road to achieving a just just democracy?
I don't know.
It has a ways to go, but still, the first steps are the major steps. At the turn of the century, Colombia was highly dependent upon the United States to buy Colombia's coffee. Three quarters of the external income into the country. At the turn of the century, from 1899 to 1902, Colombia was torn apart by the so-called War of 1,000 Days between the liberals and the conservatives. At this point, the U.S. took advantage of the internal Colombian situation to inspire revolt in the Isthmus of Panama, then part of Colombia, to guarantee a treaty with the Panamanians, giving the United States the right to build a canal through Panama. Colombia did not respond in full force because it did not want to lose its major market for its coffee exportations.
Also, how could it respond? We had no army, there's no road between Colombia and Panama. It's very difficult.
There's a funny story about a little Colombian warship that went to Panama as soon as it heard of the Panamanian revolt, and it found 5 American warships lying in Colón. Turned around. Now, the Conservative Party had gained power, and the country was trying to stabilize itself. They remained in power until the 1930s, when social problems and economic turmoil brought the liberals into power. During this period, however, the United Fruit Company, famous, isn't it, had been operating on the north coast of Colombia. The company had been growing bananas since 1901 in large territories on the Atlantic coast. The situation of the workers was such that the company owned shops, houses, and community services, including hospitals and whatever. No hospitals. Including railroads. They had to that the workers had to depend upon. The workers' demand was for recognition as employees of the country. Until that time, the banana giant had sidestepped Colombia's labor legislation by hiring workers through small labor contractors. Gabriel García Márquez used the experience of the banana workers' strike and subsequent massacre to write in his 100 Years of Solitude. The company lawyers proved that the workers' demands lacked all validity for the simple reason that Banana Company did not have, never had had, and never would have any workers in its service because they were all hired on a temporary and occasional basis. By a decision of the court, it was established and set down in solemn decrees that the workers did not exist. This is the way things work sometimes.
And because of that, there was a big massacre after.
Yes. However, the company was able to buy the government's loyalty. Money does everything sometimes. And the Colombian military intervened, shooting 3,000 strikers and townspeople, as you might have said now. This was in 1928. The labor unrest continued until 1946. On another level, the major coffee exporters grouped to form the so-called FNC, National Federation of Coffee Growers, this in 1927. The FNC quickly assumed the many functions of the state, and so being, this clique of rich coffee marketeers and coffee exporters discriminated against the small coffee farms. However, 3/4 of the crops were came from these small parcels. The result being that the coffee growers joined the sectors of the labor in protesting the government policies. In 1930, the conservative leadership was replaced by the liberals. The FNC still maintained its line of keeping good ties with the United States, and this in turn had prompted large investments of United States organizations in the Colombian economic arena. Since the roots of the rising social problems were never challenged for fear of losing U.S. favoritism, the ties between the United States and Colombia were still firmly maintained. The World War II years forced Colombia to be ever more dependent upon the United States. However, by 1946, the internal situation again in turmoil, with a hatred between the liberals and the conservatives greater than ever, created a very serious problem of
violence.
Of violence.
After that, there was one of the, they said at least 200,000 people died in this violence which lasted for like 40 years.
To go into this in more detail, it really, the open violence started when a politician named Jorge Eliezer Gaitán, a populist leader within the Liberal Party, was assassinated in Bogotá. Violence broke out in the streets of every city, town, and village in Colombia. This was a civil war between the liberals and conservatives, known as the Violencia. That resounded throughout a violencia that resounded throughout all the states, all the strata of society. By 1953, more than 100,000 people had perished. When the violencia finished, 200,000 had perished, Melda points out.
It was to kill a point that liberals were red and conservatives were blue. And if you were found to be wearing a red tie, and a conservative saw you, they would kill you. You would never have, you couldn't even talk about politics.
Widespread fratricide. At this point of such violence, with seemingly no reconciliation between the liberals and the conservatives, the military stepped into power with a coup of General Rojas Pinilla. By military force, he managed to begin to restore order in a few areas of the country. His downfall, however, was that he was installing populist policies, and the leaders of both the liberals and conservatives, which had attached themselves, could not tolerate populist policies. So, in 1967, a military junta took power, ousting Rojas Pinilla, while the liberal and conservative parties drew out a program of reconciliation between them. This turned out to be the so-called National Front, which stated that the liberals and conservatives would alternate the presidency for 16 years, and so this was until 1974. These leaders had managed to open a margin of reconstruction of the national economy, allowing exports to expand from just coffee to include other crops and industry. The days of the United Fruit Company were long gone, but the United States investments and market were still around. The FNC was still alive and its loyalties were more than ever towards the United States. Furthermore, the United States had helped the military during the 1953-58 years, and this relation was still maintained. The Violencia had the subsequent military, and the subsequent military rule had transcendental consequence on the Colombian social structure. Private armies had been formed during the Violencia, and most of these still lingered, fighting for social revolution. The army had gained, the official Colombian army had gained a firm hand on the policies of the country, and the result, and the rural lands had been reshuffled. The poor defenseless peasantry had fled to the large cities. This situation had to be confronted by López, the liberal president who had won the elections in 1974, the year that the National Front officially expired. The government had a new phenomenon to contend with, the drug industry.
Did you explain what the National Front was?
The National Front was created to respond to the Rojas Pinilla dictatorship. And what it was that the liberals and the conservatives each had their own private armies in Colombia that were fighting in the Violencia. And what they did is that they placed the situation on Rojas Pinilla to get out, or else they would continue to step up the violence. So what it was an effort of the uniting of both the liberals and the conservatives to get back into power, because more hatred towards themselves, they hated Rojas Pinilla.
And so they concentrated the power in the conservatives and the liberals for four periods of 4 years.
And this was called the United Front. Anyway, drugs. I guess we all know about those too. Drugs created a new rich society in Colombia. An emerging class of people who were literally poor and had no means of social... So what it did was it created a whole new society. A society which was composed of bypassing the official rules, using corruption and force wherever it was required. And this fed especially into the government, and with all the government's red tape, the whole system became very corrupt, even more corrupt, like I said. All this created a deterioration of the social conditions, which in 1977 erupted as a Paro Cívico Nacional, the first national strike of Colombia. The military stepped in and shot 40 people on the street. Tanks rolled out, and that was the end of the strike. This prompted the rise of the guerrilla activities. Major, all the guerrilla activities had sort of been lingering on since Violencia, and just did minor, had a minor effect on the country. The military demanded rights to oppose these guerrilla, and the United States stepped in and with American money helped strengthen the military, creating what is now known as one of the best counter-revolutionary military forces in South America. However, all this in the eyes of the external was not seen, because Colombian economy had diversified itself and gained more stability. And with the new rich class developing the drugs, cocaine and marijuana, the whole situation looked more favorable as seen from the outside. In 1978, elections again, and Turbay, another liberal president, came to power. He also was known for his tremendous corruption. His first move was to impose a statute of security, giving the military a carte blanche to do whatever they wanted, giving them power to enter anyone's houses without reason. The civil courts were replaced by military courts, and
Hello. I hope you enjoyed our program on the political history of Colombia. I hope you learned a lot about civil war. Now it's time to say goodbye. Thanks, Isaac, for joining us.
Of course, it was
a pleasure. We didn't really talk much, but we listened to some very interesting stuff.
We did.
Any takeaways?
The slap stuff was pretty cool. I don't really listen to them.
It's a good album.
When did they drop it? Like, when
last
you sent
week?
It to me?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what, a couple days ago? A
couple days ago.
Really good album.
Maybe the other takeaway is screw the conservative party of Colombia.
Yes.
I don't know.
Listen, I've been hearing so much about Colombia's political standings, and I still don't even know what the heck is going on. So,
well, we're gonna listen to our outro song, and then we're gonna get out of here and turn it over to Joe, and we're gonna listen to some Cape Verdean music.
Fire.
Woohoo! Exciting.
This is Charlie, and you listen to Zen or the Skill to Catch a Vibe on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Free From Radio. We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Frank James, Jesse Gentile, Kid, and all the rest. He's some bad cats way out in the west. Those cats could have dug me in my gangster ways. They would have hung up their guns, dug it to the graves, because I'm a gangster. A gangster of love. I'm a gangster. Gangster of love. Now look here. Going to a bar, goes from near far, say I'm a gangster. A gangster of love. I jumped in my Waddles Cadillac, I rode across the borderline. I rode 55 girls, I kissed them all at the same time. Took 25 to 30 and put them all on a freight. With $1 million reward for me in each and every state. Sheriff said, "Is your name Stevie Guitar Miller?" In a very deep voice, and I said, "Yes, the brother sheriff, and that's your wife on the back of my horse." I can't help it. I'm a gangster. I can't help it. You know, I'm a gangster.